Welcome to Vegas Dave's Dime.
Hello everyone, Vegas Dave Consolazio here. Thank you so much for joining me for my fifth episode. The Big Five is a milestone of sorts, so congratulations to me. And speaking of congratulations to me, I have to start with this. I go on one of my fantasy baseball source webpages, and yes, I have to say one of and web pages because I do have multiple sources. What kind of a serious fantasy baseball fan would I be if I didn't? And what do I see? Jay Bruce will be called up Tuesday. Didn't I just talk about Jay Bruce in my last episode and how he needed to be called up and that they had to make a spot for him on the Reds? What a coincidence that one of my 12 listeners happens to be a higher up on the Cincinnati Reds. Can you imagine that coincidence? Thank you. Whichever of the higher ups on the Cincinnati Reds it is that's listening to my show, thank you very much for making the move. And if you have any positions available in your broadcasting department, please let me know. I'd be more than happy to be considered. But more importantly than that, thank you for bringing up Jay Bruce. I mean, you know, I asked nicely, and you delivered, not 12 hours later. So, I just think that's awesome, considering the fact that I was considering waiting on that piece until it might have been a little more relevant down the line. But if I would have waited another day, he would have already been called up. So, go figure. Hopefully he is worth the hype of that last outburst in my last show and this little two-minute entrance to start this show. But sticking with baseball, the first real topic I want to get to today is Willie Randolph keeping his job with the New York Mets. Now, the New York Mets higher-ups got together today with Willie Randolph. They all had a sit-down, and they decided, we're going to keep you, Willie. You won't be held accountable for the 23-26 season we've got going here. We're going to keep you around. And I disagree with this decision. Not that I have anything against Willie Randolph. I don't think he's a bad manager necessarily. But I don't know that he's a good fit for this team. You look to last year, the Mets had a 7-game lead on the Phillies with 17 games to go. That is a huge lead. And the Mets blew it. It was the biggest lead ever given up in that amount of time in Major League Baseball history. And you take a look at this team on paper, and you've got, you know, three of the brightest offensive talents in the game in Jose Reyes, David Wright, and Carlos Beltran. You've got a good supporting cast. You added one of, if not the best pitcher in the game in Johan Santana over the offseason. And you're three games under 500. Now, David Wright defended Willie Randolph a couple of days ago. He said, and I quote, "I don't want to see anyone get blamed for something I'm responsible for. That's what we feel as players. Willie's not out there having bad at-bats or making bad pitches. That's us." And he may very well be right. I mean, you know, way too often in sports, the coach gets blamed for what's not really his fault. The players do have to go out there and produce. But at what point does that come to an end? At what point do you say, you know what, I understand that the players do need to produce, but this team on paper is significantly better than this team out on the field? When do you hold somebody accountable for that? You can't fire the entire team. You can fire the manager and bring in somebody else. Maybe they just need a change of scenery. Maybe they just need to hear a different pitch from somebody else. I mean, they've had key injuries. They did lose Pedro Martinez in the first game of the season. You know, they have had some slumping issues. I'm not saying it's all Willie Randolph's fault. All I'm saying is, when I look at coach performance, and I've always said this, you look at the team on paper, and if the team plays well above what they look like on paper, you got to give the coach some credit for that. If they play as they should, then it's just a solid coach. It's getting what he should out of his players. Good for him. if they're playing significantly under that level, you have to hold the coach accountable. And last year, they blew the lead in what was one of the biggest meltdowns in Major League Baseball history. This year, they're off to a terrible start. Whether or not it's his fault or not, he needs to be held accountable. That's my opinion. Now, I don't feel as strongly about it as I do about bringing Jay Bruce up, so if there's another head honcho listening out there, don't go firing Willie because of me. He seems like a nice guy. But if it were me, I would have made the change. And now for my second point, I want to use an email that I received. I finally have a question I can put out there. I received a question regarding the NBA's continuation rule, which is the fact that a player, after he's fouled, can continue through with the play. And of course, if he ends up scoring, it results in an and-one opportunity where he goes to the free throw line and has an opportunity to add an extra point. Now, I'm not necessarily the best person in the world to ask this question, considering the fact that, as I went over a couple shows ago, I'm not the biggest basketball fan in the world. But the question was asking what my feelings were on the rule and whether or not it frustrated me. Obviously, it wouldn't frustrate me on a personal level, but, you know, whether or not I liked the rule or disliked the rule. And I think what you have to remember is that basketball is primarily an entertainment sport. And all sports are supposed to be entertaining. But the reason I say this is there is so much scoring in basketball that that's not the focal point until the very end of the game. In hockey, goals are tough to come by. Every goal is a big moment in a hockey game. In baseball, every run is a big moment in the baseball game. In football, even in high-scoring games, every field goal, every touchdown matter. And I'm not saying that every point doesn't matter in basketball. Of course it does when it's all said and done. But when both teams score over 50 times each, it's not as big of a deal in the moment every single point. You can't get excited for every single basket in a basketball game. So one of the things that makes the game exciting is style. It's the big slam dunk, it's the big three-pointer, it's the big play that makes the game more exciting to watch than just scoring, because scoring is going to happen regardless. You can't have a 0-0 game in basketball. And so when you consider that, you have to consider the fact that while the continuation rule may be frustrating as a fan, you know, it may be frustrating to see your player foul a guy at the three-point line and have him walk in and lay it up for an and-one opportunity, it may be frustrating, but that's the game. Because that big play where he overcame a foul to get 2 points is a big play. It's an exciting play in the game. And that's what the game is. It's a game that focuses on style and finesse and entertainment. And I think that's why the rule is there. When's the last time you saw somebody get called for traveling en route to a dunk? When's the last time you saw LeBron James take 3 or 4 steps into a big dunk and have him whistled down for traveling? You don't see it because they allow it for style. And I think it's the same way with the continuation rule. So that's pretty much all I've got for you today. If you have any questions or comments, you can always email me at vegasdavesdime@gmail.com. I will always get back to you, or like I did today, get the question on the air if it's a good one. So definitely hit me up, and thank you once again so much for listening. Have a good one, everybody.